back to my bad story. It does have a connection somewhere. So we go to Alaska. She actually got me to go to Alaska. And while I was in Alaska is where actually Pastor Jerry called me. And I was sitting in Skagway, Alaska. And I'm talking with Pastor Jerry on the phone. And we are looking at the most absolute beautiful scenery as I'm doing it. And I told Pastor Jerry, I said, what kind of come to mind was Psalms 46 for me. You know, cease striving and know that I'm God. You know, I will be exalted in all the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth. You know, I actually spent a little bit of time in Alaska. I was thinking, too, that you'll never convince me that we're here by random chance. You know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think you spent a little bit of extra time there in Alaska. But through the conversation with Pastor Jerry, I mean, thinking about Psalms 10 or 46:10, cease striving and know that I'm God. I mean, I was sitting in a place where literally I had very little cell phone signal. I mean, I just had enough signal to talk to Jerry in that moment. I mean, I was disconnected from the world. I was away from the busyness of life. You know, I'm away from all the bills. I'm away from all the struggles. I'm away from all these issues I might have going on at home. And I just was in a stillness. And how hard it is to get to that place in life sometimes anymore. How hard is it to get away to that quiet place in your hearts? You know, I was looking up some different interpretations here, some different versions of the Bible. I use the NASB 1995 edition, where it says, cease striving. But the ESV and the King James, the New King James, says, be still. The NIV says, he says, be still. The Common English Bible says, that's enough. The Complete Jewish Bible says, desist. And the Christian Standard Bible says, stop fighting. Charles Ryrie wrote about this verse. He says, cease from warlike activities, acknowledge God's supremacy. I mean, there was something, I'm sitting in Alaska again, and there's something in my life I'm recognizing in this moment. I have a failure in my life to really be still before God sometimes. I have a failure in my life to still my heart and just give him all my problems and give him all my worries and give him all my stress. I have a problem in my life just letting go of things sometimes. Failure to be still with God. A failure to hear God say to me, that's enough, Jay, just give it to me. You know, a struggle to desist from my warlike activities. And a failure to stop fighting him when it comes to matters of my pride. And I have that question for myself. I was asking, like, why do I got to go to Alaska to see my need for this? Now, why do we got to have God get our attention sometime? And that way it was a beautiful way. I've had God hit me upside the head with 2x4s before to get my attention. But why do I have to get him to get my attention in that way? And maybe for some of you this morning, to start off, here are some questions. Are you striving today? Are you fighting God on something today? Are you no longer still from God but running from him? Is there something on your heart this morning that you ought to be given to him, but you're not letting go of it? You know, the text starts this morning with a praise to God as being our everything. It says in Psalms 46:1, verses 1 through 2a, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I mean, God is our refuge. He's our shelter in danger. God is our strength. He's our courage in times of trouble. God is a very present help. If you underline words in your Bible, underline that, very present help in times of trouble. And because of him, we shouldn't fear, right? You know, it should sound like something so easy. And this passage is even a song that we oftentimes sing in church and you hear sung many times. You know, God is our refuge and our strength. I won't sing it for you, I promise. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in times of trouble. You wouldn't want that. You know, and sometimes you hear choirs sing it. Sometimes in church you even get to clap. You know, God is our refuge. God, you dance sometimes. I won't do any of that again either. You know, we see Psalms 47:1, it says, "Oh, clap your hands, all people shout to God with a voice of joy." And we sing that song when we come to church on Sunday morning sometimes with such great joy and enthusiasm. And we can so easily walk in here on Sunday mornings to sing that. But is your heart really singing it on Sunday morning sometimes? Is your mind really singing that song that God is my refuge and my strength after your week? You know, because on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. ish, I promise I won't go 3 hours like I told you some of you I would. But at 11 a.m. ish, I mean, we walk out of here, and oftentimes we don't come back here till about 9 a.m. ish the next week. Is God your refuge and your strength between 11 a.m. ish on Sundays till 9 a.m. ish the next Sunday? Do you feel it in your heart? Do you know it in your mind that he's present in your times of troubles and your struggles in life? You know, oftentimes, you know, we grow up in church with what I like to call Christianity 101 things that we kind of learn to do. You know, one of them is actually from Acts chapter 2, 42. It says they were continually devoting themselves to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Christianity 101, we learn we need to read our Bibles, the importance of connecting with God and hearing God's voice. We learn the importance of Christian fellowship. You know, we learn the importance of being in church and being a part of a local body, and we learn the importance of prayer, and we also learn the importance of serving, which I hear your young people did a few weeks ago by going to Indianapolis. Good on you. I think that's great you guys did that. No, we learn from Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to do. No, these are Christianity 101 things, and they're good things. But we learn some bad Christianity 101 things, too, sometimes that actually don't come from the Bible. Like covering up our hurts and our feelings and masking them when we come to church on Sunday mornings or when we're around other believers. We can sing things like, God is my refuge and God is my strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. But let's be real. Is he really in your heart some days? Or are you struck down by the fears of life? You know, there's this thought, again, that we have to come in here and we can say, okay, well, I'm struggling with this, but I know God's with me, when we're not really feeling it inside sometimes. We learn to put the strong face on. We learn to say the I got faith no matter what face. We put on the mask. And like Pastor Don Johnson talked to you guys about last week when he talked to you about Job 31:35. When Job said, oh, that I had one to hear me. Behold, there is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me. I mean, does that sound like a guy who thought God was his refuge and his strength? No, it sounds like a guy who's in a situation struggling and he's wondering where God is. But we learned this Christianity 101 thing. We got to come to church and we got to put the face on. And you got to sing the song in such a way where everyone thinks you believe that in your heart right now, though you're really struggling. Have you ever felt that way in church? And truth be told, I'll be honest, I have. I'm ashamed to admit it. I've come into church. So I've been preaching for 2.5 years, going into churches that aren't my own. And Pastor James, there's a lesson for you. This is lonely. It gets lonely. You know, you get to know people, but you're never really known by anybody. And you wonder sometimes if God even sees you in the loneliness. I've felt that way coming to church sometimes. Maybe your heart feels that way this morning too. Like, I don't feel like God's my refuge. I don't feel like he's my strength in the situation I'm going through. Now, the psalm goes on and continues in Psalms 46, 2b through 3. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. The word though is there in the text to set up for what comes in verse 4 and beyond, and we'll get to that in a few moments here. But let's look at the struggle in the text, the things that could cause us to be still and to strive. I mean, the earth changing, mountains slip into the heart of the sea, waters roar and foam, mountains quake, the text says. And in Psalms 46, 6a, it says the nations made an uproar, the kingdoms touted, nations uproaring. I mean, literally what it says, though, it's pretty much whatever you got going on in your life. And our struggles look a little different today. You know, if you ever turn on the news media, that causes immediate struggle in your life. I suggest you don't watch very much news, just personal thought. Social media, again, the same thing, because we see the world's a mess today. We see the uproar of nations. I mean, there was an 8.8 earthquake the other day. That sure changed the earth. That sure caused mountains to slip into the heart of the sea, waters roaring, mountains quaking. Some people come to the church this morning struggling with health issues. Myself and Pastor James read a Bible study on Tuesday, and half the prayer requests were on health issues, weren't they, Pastor? I mean, they were on people with cancer issues. There was a lady in our church, she needs a heart transplant bad. She's not getting it, and she's in a lot of pain. You know, some of you this morning might be coming here, and you got health issues going on. And you're like, where's God in this? Where's he in the struggle? Where's he in this problem of mine? I don't feel him this morning. And I sing God as my refuge and my strength, but I don't feel it. As we're in the middle of those health issues. You know, for some of you, it's bills. You know, money issues can always feel overwhelming. We can feel like the disciples who were straining against the oars on the sea in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. When it comes to bills, like you're straining and straining and straining to get them paid, but you can't get to shore. You're like, God, where are you in this? Where are you in my struggle? Some of us got struggles with jobs, stressed out over work and unsatisfied with where we go each week. It can be overwhelming in our lives. God, where are you? Where's the relief, God, in this? Some of us struggle with addictions, maybe struggle with drugs or alcohol abuse this morning in here. You know, you come to church and you can mask it that you don't do this stuff during the week, but God knows that you do. And maybe you come to church and tell others that you're turning to prayer and turning to his word, but you're going home and you're turning to other substances. Some of you struggle maybe with anger and bitterness in your heart. You've allowed a conflict in your life to get rooted deep down inside, and it's burning you up. You're like, God, where are you? Why do I feel this way? Why am I so angry all the time? God, give me relief from this. And I will confess to you, if I have one of those sins I carry, I'm a grudge holder. You know, that's my problem sometimes. And I got to go to prayer a lot sometimes with God. And God, like, why don't you relieve me of this stress? Where are you in this? Some of you, it's just the busyness of life that you struggle with. We carry this thing in the back of our pocket. Though it has value in our life sometimes, this is like a stress in life sometimes. We get caught up in social media. You get caught up in activities. I mean, some of you guys don't know whether you're coming or you're going, I'm sure. Like, when's this busyness going to end? When am I going to have time to be still? I mean, you're taking kids from one activity to another activity to another activity. I was at a soccer game one time with my daughter, and there was a lady sitting next to me complaining because she had to get her daughter to the soccer game, and as soon as that's over, they had to go to some musical practice, piano practice or something. And from there, she had to get to a birthday party, and then from there, they had to get to her aunt's house and do this. And from there, it was just constant thing after thing after thing. And it can be overwhelming in life sometimes. We never have time to get still before God. And we're like, God, where are you in this? I don't feel you in this. And if you're doing this here and you're putting on the face and playing the game this morning, again, I've done it too. You know, it's that terrible Christianity 101 thing we learn from a young age. Like, share your prayer concerns and your issues, but don't let people know that God is, you don't feel God present in your life right now. And the thing is, this should be the place that we come and we take that mask off and we should be able to say, I'm struggling to feel God in my heart right now. I'm struggling to feel God as my refuge. I'm struggling to feel God as my strength. I feel buried by the waves of the sea and the mountains on top of me. Of all the issues I have, I don't feel God. And we should be able to come here and say that. And if you come here this morning and you're hiding something this morning, stop hiding it. You can tell people, I'm struggling in my faith. Nobody ever wants to say that out loud in church sometimes, that they're struggling in their faith because they think someone's going to judge them. If someone's going to judge you because they're struggling in your faith, man, they ain't a brother and a sister. Because a brother and a sister would embrace you as one who struggles in your faith because they should have probably gone through the same things you have. because we don't always feel it in life. And we struggle in life sometimes. And the thing is, though, in the text, there's a reminder that I'm God. I was talking to Pastor James a little bit about this before service. But it blows my mind. The God of the universe, where I am not even a speck and a speck and a speck in all of creation, he reaches out to me to remind me that he's present. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That he reaches out to me instead of going back and saying, well, that lowly human's ignoring me again and forgetting that I'm his refuge and his strength and turning his back. Constantly through the scriptures, reminding us over and over again, I have not left you. I am still there. I am your refuge and I am your strength. Because in heaven right now over your situation and your problem, God is not stressed out. You know, it was funny, I was thinking of the disciples this week in that boat. The winds and the waves and the sea, and Jesus was in the boat with them the entire time. Why they were freaking out, thinking they were going to die. God is in the boat. He's in the boat with you in the struggles. God's not calling a meeting in heaven right now. The angels try to get an advice from them to try to fix your problems. He's already in the midst of it with you. God always reminds us that he's our help and that we can look up to him. I thought of Psalms chapter 121 this week, verses 1 through 8. That says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. This particular passage has some meaning to me. I brought up issues we have, but one of the issues we have is family issues sometimes. When a kid struggles in life, it's hard. But when you got a marriage issue, it's even harder. I've been married 21 years, but I can tell you this, at the beginning of my marriage, it was kind of rocky. Me and my wife didn't always get along. We ended up having our first kid, and my wife was struggling with some things, and there was a lot of fights in the house, a lot of arguments between me and her, and you kind of wonder if you're going to make it through, and you wonder where God is and all of it, right? Well, speaking of those missions trips, and the reason why I think it's so special to go on those missions trips is I was scheduled to go on one of those YouthWorks missions trips with our youth group, and my wife wasn't supposed to go, but she got herself scheduled to go. And I'll be honest with you, I was looking forward to the break from her. But she came. And on the trip, we kind of kept our distance from each other until there was this activity. We were at Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And there was this trail they wanted us to walk up. And they set the top to go, there's this little steep cliff. You should be able to get it up just fine. Well, we started to fall behind the group. And for whatever reason, we began to argue over just some ridiculous things. And we got up to the steep cliff, and if that's their idea of a steep cliff, I don't know what they were thinking. This thing was straight up 15 feet, like a rocky climb. And I found out later the kids actually formed a chain and pulled each other up. Me and my wife tried to climb this thing, not experienced mountain climbers. And she went up first. And as she was climbing, I heard her kind of weeping, and her foot slipped. And I had a reaction, threw my hand up to catch her foot so she wouldn't fall. And I'm holding on to the side of this cliff, too, by the way, looking down, thinking, and when she goes, I'm going, and this is going to hurt real bad when we fall. And suddenly I hear a voice. There's this kid in our youth group. His name was Matt Myers. And Matt yells out, Bobby, give me your hand. I look up, and this kid is leaning all the way over the side of this cliff, reaching out towards my wife. And what I didn't know is another kid was behind him, holding on to him, and another kid was behind that one, holding on to that one. They'd formed a chain and pulled my wife up and pulled me up. And I got to the top, and my wife used to do this thing where she put on sunglasses to try to cover up how she was feeling. She had her dark sunglasses on, and she looked at me angrily, and I thought, okay, here it comes. And instead, she threw her arms around me and wept. And things were still tough for a little bit after that. But it was like that reminder, like God was in the midst of this struggle we were having in our marriage. And if you're struggling in your marriage today, give it to God. I think one thing we have to remember sometimes is that I married a sinner, but she married one too. And that poor woman's put up with me for 21 years. But I looked at Psalms 121. God is our refuge and strength. He is leaning over the cliff right now, reaching out to you like, I will pull you up. I'm not going to let you slip here. I still haven't left you yet. You know, that time of trouble, he's still there. And in the Psalms 46, he reminds us of that. It says, even though multiple times, even though whatever happens in our life. It says in Psalms 46, 4 through 9, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tilted. He raised his voice and melted the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our stronghold, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, he who worked desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. This was during a time when Israel was probably at war, and he had to remind them that he was still there in the midst of the battles. You know, he reminds us oftentimes throughout Scripture, no matter what happens in your life, no matter whatever, I am still seated on the throne. I am still the one who sits at the center of all of reality, and I can still see you in the midst of this. And not only can I still see you, I am with you in the middle of all of it. I have not abandoned you. I have not forsaken you. He's the one in our life who can still say, hush, be still, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 4:39. We have to remember that we can be real with God in our struggles and heartaches. That we can take the mask off in front of God and that he still hears us. And he wants to bring us the peace in life. Jesus said in John chapter 4:14-27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, not let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. And John chapter 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you so that you may have peace. In this world you have tribulations, but take courage, I have overcome the world. And all of your struggles, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's in the midst of all of them with you. And he reminds us again that he's still there and he hasn't left us. I was reading an article this week from Joel Ryan. It was written at Christianity.com, April 22nd, 2024. It says, be still and know that I'm God, Psalms 46:10 explained. In this article he wrote, as God addressed Israel, he is not just telling them to be still and rest. If this is written during a time of war, which it most likely is, God commands them to stop fighting and open their eyes to who he is. In some translations, it is phrased as cease striving. It's easy to be fearful when things aren't going well or when we are faced with challenges and conflicts in our lives. In the midst of their struggle, however, God tells his people to wake up and recognize who's on their side. In that light, the tone of this verse can be read, stop striving, stop fighting, and stop trying to do things on your own. Stop stressing out about the battle ahead and trust me. Wake up, I am the Lord. I am your refuge and your strength, and you have nothing to fear or worry about when I am with you. I will fight your battles and deal with your enemies. So get out of my way, step back, open your eyes, acknowledge who I am and what I can do. Let me be God, don't try. Do my job for me. Be patient, be still, and let me go to work. I think we got to remember all the struggles in life, even though whatever struggle you face, you have not been abandoned. Even if you feel like you have, he is still there. And he reminds you of that. For those in this room, though, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't do this one last thing. I believe what it says in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4. It says, for what I deliver, I pass on to you as first importance that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single human being that was born with sin on their hearts. And Jesus Christ is the cure. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible tells us God demonstrated his love for us in this, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. The Bible says in that John 3:16 promise, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the things I'm here to tell you this morning, again, I was talking to Pastor James on the way here. Oftentimes I go to churches and I get one shot with that church to preach the gospel. Jesus Christ loves you. He came to this earth and he lived the perfect life that you cannot. And he died in your place on Calvary. He was buried in grave, yet he rose again 3 days later, conquered sin and death forever. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning? I love what it says in that John 3:16 passage. It says, for whoever believes. You're looking at a guy who got drunk in 16 different countries in this world when I was in the service. Looked at so many inappropriate things I should have had my eyes gouged out a long time ago. Such sin and bitterness in my heart that the Lord can forgive me of all the things I've done. He can forgive you too. There's no sin you've ever committed that's gone so far from God's love, so far from the reach of the cross, that even now he sits on the throne in heaven. And as I was talking about how he was with us as believers, he's reaching out to the non-believer. He's like, my son, my daughter, just give me your heart. I love you. Hear me this morning. And a lot of people can come to church, and again, we can do the acts, and you can play like you're Christian, but you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. He loves you. He's reaching out to you now to forgive. He's already forgiven your sins on the cross. You just have to accept what's being offered to you. And I ask you this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ if you have not. Let him be the Lord and God of your life. He's your Savior and Lord. This morning I'm going to pray about two things. I skipped some really bad jokes in my sermon. I'll tell you those after church if you want to listen to them. But we're going to pray about two things. Number one, first importance, if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to pray about that right here this morning. Number two, if you're putting on the mask when you walk in here, you're singing, God is my refuge and God is my strength, but you feel like you're just lost in the ocean. I'm praying this morning you feel God's presence in your heart. I'm praying you open up about that and be just willing to let go. It's okay to let go. We're supposed to let go here. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I make mistakes like everybody else. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he came to this earth, Lord, and lived the perfect life that I just can't. I believe, God, that he took all my sin and shame to the cross with him, that he died in it, that he was buried and he raised again 3 days later, conquered sin and death forever. God, I just ask today that you come into my life, that you give me a new heart within. Give me a new reason and purpose for living, to live for Jesus. God, too, I pray this morning for those in this room. They're carrying something in church this morning. They're carrying a struggle. They're carrying a hurt. They're carrying a burden. And they've put the face on. And they're singing the songs. And they're acting like everything's okay, but everything's not. Let them just give that to you this morning. God, that it's okay to say I'm not okay. It's okay to say I'm hurting inside and I don't feel your presence, God. May they have a piece of a reminder, God, this morning that you are still on the throne and you still see them. That you haven't left their side this morning, that you still watch over their coming and their going. God, may they feel you this morning. And be willing to just to lay it down before you. That if they walked in here with a burden, God, they lay it down at the cross this morning before they leave. God, thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for guiding me through the message. I skipped some things, Lord. But thank you for the guidance through the message. Thank you for these wonderful people here at Salt Lake Community Church. God, may you continue to use them as a light of hope in this community. God, I pray for the saints in your son's precious name. Amen.